Blog Talk Radio.
Good evening, everyone. Welcome to PGN. Glad to be here and glad that you are joining us this evening. It is the end of March, which I can hardly believe this month just flew by. Today's the 30th. So praise God for where we are, and we're moving into Easter at the end of this week and the Passion of Christ, as people call this Passion Week. So I pray that the Lord is just imbuing his word and his passion into your heart, and that, he just set a fire and set ablaze before you for his glory. Well, good to be here. Thank you for joining us this evening. Thank you, callers, for listening and joining us, and for ministry time, which will be shortly. And for those who are listening online, we appreciate you joining us, and anyone listening at a later time or finding us on iTunes or wherever we may have crossed paths, we welcome you, and we bless you in Jesus' name. We thank you for joining us, and we pray just the Lord's blessing upon you and just bless you. Bless your ears and your eyes to see and ears to hear in Jesus' name. So, Father, we thank you for this evening, Lord. We dedicate this time unto you, Lord. I thank you, Father. I come to you, Lord, to be surrendered to your voice and to your word, Lord, to be yielding. Father, we pray that you would be lifted up and that you would draw all men and women unto you, Lord, by your name and by your power. And by your presence, we thank you for it, Lord. We just send your presence and your loving care and your provisions to each person who has need, God, and your great comfort, Lord, as your word says that you are the God of all comfort, Lord. We pray, Lord, in those areas where people may be grieving or have loss, Lord, in Jesus' name, we ask that your comfort and the Holy Spirit would come alongside of them, Lord, and to minister as only you can, God. And we thank you, Lord, for just your refreshing and for your spirit. And again, for your presence. We thank you in Jesus' name. Well, this week, I have been talking about, I think, pretty much the whole month of March. I was just thinking how they call it March Madness. But I have been thinking of this, sharing a little bit how the Lord had been prompting me just to receive his call, the fullness of his call to minister, and that involved some deliverance. Well, there was a church not too far by that was having a conference or a class / deliverance. It was for those seeking or wanting deliverance, and then also those who may be wanting to be trained in the deliverance type of thing. So it was just one day, again, all day Saturday, and there was prayer in the morning. We took a break for lunch, and then individual prayer more so, but like a corporate type of thing in the morning, and then after lunch, was generational type of thing. And so as I was preparing this before the Lord and saying yes to him, he did show me a couple of things that I needed to continue to pray generationally. And that was really, really my main goal as well. While I've been through deliverance, is to say that somebody, certainly there to receive whatever the Lord, wanted to do. But I have been through deliverance since I've been a Christian. Corporately, the Lord has led me in different conferences at different times, even unexpectedly, but stepping into that at that moment. And then also personally, in personal ministry and prayers through like a local church, and also friends of ours who are ministers who live in Florida. They have prayed over John and myself before as well. So definitely have walked through some deliverance in that sense as well. And So, but really geared towards the generational aspect of this and moving forward and and so, and wanting John and I to do that together. Oh, and during the time, sorry, in preparing, the Lord did put a couple of things in my heart, which is really mostly idols, which I talked about a little bit. I mentioned last week. And just because we grew up in our families, both of our parents in Catholicism, and, you know, they pray to Mary at different times, and just some elements there. And idolatry and some different things. There are some group things like the Knights of Columbus, I think it's called, anyways, in the North. I don't know if they have that in the South or where you live, but it's a branch off of the Catholic Church. So just wanting to take authority over that type of thing, because the idols speak lies. And wanting to tether that and just whatever else the Lord would bring about. But let me just say this. So what the Lord wanted me to share with you on Saturday morning, you know, I had said yes to him. And as I was preparing to go, I took the dog out. John had left early to do something in the morning, bow and arrow. I think he went to go shoot his bow and arrow at a friend's house. And I took the dog out, and I took him actually out a different way. And I came up the back parking lot. And when I did, in the one spot near the grass, kind of near the highway, in the back, most people don't park back there, there was a dollar bill. I mean, it was like not even really folded. It was just laying on the ground. So when I walked up, I was like, oh, my gosh, that's a dollar bill. So I picked it up, and I put it in my pocket to the dog, and then I ended up taking the dog around the front area to, and all of a sudden I seen a moving truck. And it was then I said, oh, my goodness, I think that moving truck has blocked in my car. And I thought, wouldn't it just be the enemy to block me in when I need to leave in, like, less than 5 minutes? So I looked at the moving truck, and it was empty, and I thought, well, I'm catching them at a good time if, you know, they haven't started yet. And so I had to walk all the way around to see the correct angle of the car, and it wasn't. I was able to get my car out. You know, it was cleared enough for me to get my car out. So I said, well, thank you, Lord, for making, you know, he made provision for that. He made a way and provision for me. And I also felt like this dollar bill, mind you, I don't know exactly everything that it means, but I did sense that it was the Lord showing me that he's making provision, that he was making provision. And then when I seen the truck, I knew it was a provision as well, for that I had clearance. I had provision to go, and God was making a way for me to go, and he was making the provision for that. Now, I shared about that a couple of weeks. I just want to recap on the provision. When I looked that up, in the Greek, New Testament Greek, it talks about it being a forethought or providential care to make provision for a thing beforehand. So it's a forethought. The Lord was preparing, and he knew that I was going to get there, and it was his forethought, a provision for me. And it also has to do with a little bit of providence as well, right? Which it says providence literally means foresight. But it's generally used to denote God's persevering and governing of all things by means of second causes. And I thought about this is that the Lord even does this with creation, right? Because he is preserving and governing all things. Just like, okay, the week of the Passion, he provided a donkey, or some versions say a colt, for Jesus to come riding into town. That was his provision, and that was his providence that he did that, right? And how we had talked a little bit about Elijah and the raven and the widow, and then at the very last was the angels who actually brought him cakes before he traveled back to the mountain of the Lord. So I wanted to make mention of that. And then when I looked at the dollar bill when I came back, I thought, I need just the numbers on this dollar bill. And there is a which I didn't know this, I learned this, on the dollar bill, there's a series that comes through on the dollar bill. And so it has, you'll see a letter on there. So there was the letter L and the number 12. There's several different numbers, as you know, on there, but there's the number 12, like scattered throughout maybe three or four. I don't know if it's in four corners or just on each end of the dollar bill. But actually 12, L, the letter L, is the 12th letter in the alphabet. So that's what the number 12, that's how it just gets run through the series. So not all dollar bills have the same, they don't have the same numbers, the same series of numbers. And then there's also a series of numbers that's a very, very small printed on there on the right-hand side that talks about like what plate type series they came from. But I say the number 12 is because I had been talking about the number 12 at the beginning of this year, talking about the Lord governing and what he's doing with his elect and his time, the fulfillment of time is at hand and the kingdom of the Lord is at hand, right? And then there are also, so in the smaller numbers, talking about the plate number that's on there, lo and behold, the number 22 was on there. So I'm still kind of pulling that apart and asking the Lord about it. I actually took that dollar bill. I made a copy of it. And then I put the dollar bill in a little envelope. I wrapped it up in the paper copy. And then I put it in an envelope and kind of tucked it away because I'm still a little bit uncertain what the Lord is saying there. So then I get a message from my husband because I asked him to meet me there when he was done. And he said, can't remember when I got the message. It might have been at the lunch break. And he said, please listen to the message I left you. And he ended up getting stuck in the mud. His car got stuck in the mud and he couldn't get out. So naturally, I was thinking, well, I think this might be the enemy in keeping him from, you know, actually like he should be there. And maybe, you know, this was the enemy's way of delaying him and stalling him and him not being there, which is probably a natural thought. And so anyways, we came home for lunch and I met him here. Oh, I think maybe we talked on the phone as I was coming home. And he also mentioned this particular gentleman, he hunts in his backyard on his property. And he said he's been trying to, like, you know, as he goes there and talks to them, he has been witnessing to him and talking to him for some time. And so this young man had to call his sister to get a different vehicle to pull John's car out that was stuck in the mud. And so my husband offered to take the two of them to lunch just so he could sit down with them and talk to them and pray with them. He's very evangelistic, if you've heard me speak of him, John, over, you know, blog talk times. And so he did. So he was sharing a little bit about that, what he felt like the Lord was showing him to do. And, you know, and okay, just through the lunch. And I said, well, are you going to come to the meeting? Like, are you going to come to the meeting when you're done with lunch? And he said, yeah, I'll come to the meeting when I'm done. So the afternoon meeting started. John arrived at the meeting, like right when they started to pray for people. And there must have been probably, I would say anywhere, I'm not really the best with numbers in large groups like that, but I would say there had to be anywhere from 200 to 300 people there. And we, as the first people went up, he called forth, because there were people there with families and their children, and then some people that were older, he said, I know you get tired and I want to pray for you first. So I just kind of hung back, John and I just kind of hung back a little bit. And so we didn't get prayed for until I would say three quarters of the people. I mean, we probably waited at least 45 minutes to an hour. And beautiful prayer, the pastor, I mean, God bless him and his family and the ministry team that came alongside of him to bless us all with prayer, you know, any other additional, you know, unctions. He had to pray generationally. Excuse me, he prayed. you know, he prayed for us at the same time, which I thought was beautiful. It was a beautiful prayer, really. It was just, I appreciated the ministry time. And after that, there was a, the associate pastors or whatever came and kind of prayed over you and prophesied, or as they heard the pastor pray over you, if there was a word that came forth, then they just delivered that to you. Well, and they were a husband and wife team. So the wife gave me a word, and then the husband was giving my husband a word. And he said, well, at first he was like, he didn't know who the word, he said, this is for, and then he said, no, I see it more for you, John. And he said, I see you as if you're stuck, as if you're being stuck in the mud. And we just looked at each other. I mean, I think John thought for a minute I might have said something to someone, which I didn't. And he said, oh, my gosh, I was literally stuck in the mud this morning. And we were all just like a little bit, you know how you are, right, when you receive a word like that. Oh, my goodness. So he was speaking to him about helping other people, like you're going to be helping other people get unstuck. The Lord is going to be showing you that and how to help other people. And then really, you know, John was saying, like, I haven't been stuck in the mud in I don't know how many years. He's like saying it's probably been over 10 years. So just as the Lord prepared me, listen, and made provision for me to go and to be there, so the Lord did the same thing with John, like even prophetically, this prophetic parable, if you would, but it was a form of the way that the Lord prepared him. Now, the Lord prepared both of us in a different way, but it was his provision, and by his grace was on it, and it was in it. And I'm sure there's something very sustaining, even what the Lord's going to bring out of this as well, even John's more so evangelistic thing, helping people get unstuck, and even like searching that out before the Lord and gaining understanding and clarity specifically on how he's going to do that. And I'm sure in some part, I think he said, you know, you guys would do that together to some degree, but really John would lead out on that. So so then, you know, I had been doing this study I mentioned from Elijah, and John's, I read something to him like the next day in the morning, and he had said, you know, Elijah, I forgot, I didn't realize this wasn't even part of the study. I mean, it wasn't come from the same chapter, I believe. That Elijah said to King Ahab, you better go now, or you could get your chariot stuck in the mud. You're going to get your chariot stuck in the mud. And I said, what? Oh, my goodness. So I looked that up a little bit and to see where that was. However, those exact words weren't there unless John was specifically speaking of somewhere else that he specifically said that. But when I looked it up a couple times, I tried to Google the question a couple of different ways. I was really referring to what I found in 1 Kings 18:44, when Elijah was telling the king, he was telling him to go up and say to Ahab, prepare your chariot and go down, lest the rain stop you. So he was saying, in other words, he was telling him that you better hurry up or you could get your chariot stuck in the mud. But I don't know that those exact words are there. So, but what happened, if you remember the story, is that actually Elijah beat him back to the city. And so this chariot actually represents the strength of man. So even in King Ahab's own strength, he couldn't make provision, even though he was the king. And the chariots played a central role for the economy. And all that he had in his own strength, he couldn't accomplish. He didn't have the ability to accomplish things as powerfully and out of the resources as we do from the Holy Spirit and from God, you know, that we know that he's leading him. The Lord led me completely different the way that he led John, but God was in that. and he was providing and making provision for that. And I think just for tonight, because I want to stop here, is just say that the Lord knows the call on our life and how effective we're going to be, and he will lead us in such a way that it's memorable to him, right? I mean, for him, because we're trusting him, and he's going to reinforce, you know, our beliefs to trust in the Lord. And that's exactly what he did on Saturday. As I went out and as John went out, God is reinforcing our belief to trust in the Lord. And so I really want to pray, you know, I felt before I come on this, just to pray that the Lord would bless, you know, and Elijah started praying for the rain. We know he prayed 7 times, but I want us to pray that the Lord would bless his provision and his supply for us. Because, right, he said, Elijah said it was small. It was the size of a man's hand in the sky. Now, that's pretty small if you think about that, okay? Finding a dollar on the street, having just enough room to get my car out, you know, as those are small things, being stuck. And then the prophetic word, as if you're stuck, you know, and the Lord wanting, you know, really instilling in him and reinforcing not only his belief to trust in the Lord, but so that he would know what it feels like for other people. He could identify with that and not just give this pat answer or, you know, do this spiritual bypassing of really what reality is, you know, minimizing it or demeaning it in any way, but helping people because knowing what it feels like to be stuck and the reality of that. And coming alongside of them, you know, helping pull them out and get them there. But just that the Lord would bless our eyes to see his provision. And it probably is going to be small in the moment. But Elijah declared it as abundance. Even though he seen it was small as the size of a man's hand, he knew in that there was abundant provision in it. Because it was of the Lord. So I want the Lord to open our eyes to see that, you know, and me even saying to the Lord, like, I'm going to say yes to you, Lord. And then this class or this conference coming up, that is a small thing, right? But seeing it, just being able to recognize that as from the Lord and saying yes to it, just a small thing. A few hours on a Saturday, you know, to teach. And it's not like that I've never walked through that or read that or, you know, but it was something, this is the place of the Lord's provision for this hour so that we could see that for ourselves because it's him, you know, who's placed, you know, the heavenly calling has been preordained in your life by God, and the Holy Spirit can give you the vision for your calling. So this is for your life, for my life, for John, for your family, for your children, your children's children, and you know, and we'll see it happen faster than we can imagine. And may it be more powerfully and with the authority to glorify God through our life, even that small thing, but knowing that that's the Lord leading us through his providential care and provision, because eventually what's going to come out of that is abundance. You know, even him saying, do not despise the day of small beginnings, right? So when you have an opportunity, you have an offer granted to you, an opportunity presented to you, it may look small, but let's ask the Lord to open our eyes to see if this is his provision. And we don't even have to know all of it. Like, we don't even have to maybe know the fullness of the abundance, but we know who the Lord is. And if he's calling us there and we're asking for, you know, just that really, just open our spiritual eyes to see his provision. Okay, so let's Let me just check this real quick here as we transition. So thank you again for joining us this evening. Everyone, we appreciate you being here and joining us. Let me just get organized for 1 second. Okay, God bless you guys. Okay, we're going to open up our first caller here. This is 920-279. I believe it's Anne from Wisconsin. I said that with an accent,
hello.
I think. Hi, how are you?
I'm good. How are you?
I'm doing well. Thank you for asking.
Mm-hmm.
Yes. Well, Anne, thank you for joining us this evening. Let me pray for you, and then we'll jump in, and you're welcome. Yes. So, Father, we thank you for Anne, Lord. We thank you in Jesus' name, Lord. Thank you, Father, Lord, just bring her into your presence, Lord, and before your altar, Father, in the name of Jesus. I see the Lord is like zeroing in on something with you, you know, like, I don't know if you're standing in the center of it, but just the Lord zeroing in on something. I don't know if he's just, if that is a sense where he is like zeroing in on one subject, on one aspect, on one instruction. I'm not exactly, I'm necessarily see that or know that clearly, other than I see him having, you know, just having you, him zeroing you in on something, you know. And again, I don't know if that's just one element right now that he's having you focus on, or he's getting your attention on, you know, or that you're in the center of, you know, like it could be, excuse me, it could be like, you know, sometimes we might have questions about certain things in Scripture, and he might mm-hmm. just have us pursue him in that one aspect until we get clarity from him and his instruction and what he wants us to do. But, okay, I'm not getting anything more than that, because I was going to say that again, just that he's zeroing in on something with you. So praise the Lord.
Praise the Lord. Thank you.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. So is there anything specific you'd like prayer for, or you'd like to share with our callers this evening?
Yes, I don't know when the last time I spoke with you, but I think you were the one that I had said, I had asked, because you had said you were going to a different church or something, and they were teaching on things that, well, anyways, I think I mentioned that I asked you if God was speaking anything to you about Jubilee.
Oh,
was
yes.
that you, Deborah?
Uh-huh. I do recall
okay.
you asking. Thing that yeah, maybe a month or so ago, yeah.
Oh, it was that long ago already? Wow. God is just he is so wonderful, because I was watching something on YouTube and I had fallen asleep, and but I was awake but yet just laying there asleep, and I had this vision, this elderly couple, a man and a woman, and they were in a plowed field. It was plowed, like, you know, it had to be like spring, because it wasn't planted and it was, the dirt was turned over, and they were looking at it. And as I was looking at them, they were just looking at the ground. And then my eyes were fixed behind them was the super bright golden sun, like the sun was going down, wasn't coming up, it was literally going down, but it was there where it was so, you know, yellow and golden, you know.
Mm-hmm.
And I didn't know what that meant. I mean, totally, like, I was like, what does that mean, you know? And I was chatting with a friend of mine in Louisiana, and she goes, well, the field, you know, could be like harvest or something. And I was like, oh, I didn't even think of that, because, you know, how it says in Scripture that the people's hearts are plowed, the fallow ground is plowed up and good for planting. Well, that's what I thought of. Well, then the next day, I don't know why I did this, but I went to Blue Letter Bible, and I was listening to a teaching on Leviticus 26 and 27 and 25, and that's where they were talking about Jubilee and about the land being returned to you. And I don't know, there must have been something else in those three chapters that I literally thought about Jubilee, you know, because of the land and then the planting and how the land has to rest after so many years.
Yeah. And then did you draw a conclusion with your, back to your dream or no?
Well, I just thought, there must have been something in that teaching. I don't remember right now. I'm really sorry. It's drawing a blank, but I thought, I bet you that vision. Yeah, I'm sorry. I didn't write it down. And it was just 2 days ago. I was listening to that and I was thinking, I wonder if that's what that what the vision meant about the land and the Jubilee. And and then actually Jeannie did pray for me last night about debt cancellation, and I didn't say anything to her about Jubilee. So
because that's a part of Jubilee is debt cancellation.
Yep.
Mm-hmm. Right, yes. And very good. So say that scripture you said again about the people's hearts are prepared. What did you say that verse?
The fallow ground is plowed and it is ripe for planting, I think it goes something like that. Plows up
So the people's hearts are ready. Is that what you're saying?
That the Lord plows the fallow ground in their hearts, and then you can plant, because you can't plant literally in the natural even any seeds or anything if the ground is not turned over.
Right. Yeah,
and
that's actually a really good, that right there, Anne, is like a really good intercessor prayer aspect of strategy, is that hearts would be overturned to receive the seed that is planted.
Mm-hmm. Oh, and then now that you just said that about intercession, there actually was, it was really weird. It was like off the wall comment in his teaching. But he said, this is like one sentence he said was, you know, people's hearts in the teaching, he said, people's hearts, people don't change people's hearts. God changes people's hearts. And then he said, and then, right, in this way, he goes, in the political arena, that's how things get changed, is when you pray for people. And I literally live in this, in my county, is so terrible what's happening political. I mean, it's so evil. And for a month I had been praying. So, like, this is coming to my mind again, like what I was thinking. But he just said that one sentence in that teaching. That's all he said. And I was like, oh, yeah, I got to pray for those people. And then that literally lines up with what I was telling you about people's hearts being the fallow ground.
Mm-hmm.
Being turned over.
Yeah. Yeah. It does. I mean, I would seek the Lord a little more on that dream because I would be curious, you know, I would be curious about that too, what he is trying to show you or speak to you. And ask him to bring the understanding so that you have clarity, you know. And because I do think of the harvest too, but but it being plowed. So I just don't know what stage of where in the harvest it is. But it could be very much where your heart automatically drew to. Like that could very much be what the Holy Spirit is showing you. You know, as that aspect of it. And I also heard people talk about that color of the sunset and that it's like almost an amber color, kind of that referring to faith and like an aspect of faith. Yeah, that amber color. So, yeah, that's good. That's very good. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
And I know I had a dream a couple nights ago and I remembered what I remembered and I wrote it. Actually, it was in the middle of the night, like the next night I thought, oh, I better write that down. And then I didn't get up, but I just wrote it on the notes on my phone. Like I went to that little notepad thing. I said, okay, well, I'll write it here. And, but originally when I had the dream, I thought, I don't know what that means. What does that mean? And then it wasn't until a couple of days later, the Lord was just impressing a couple of different aspects about it. Because I remember I was responding to it thinking, oh, yeah, that's good. That does make sense. And then I said, okay, wait a second. This is the Lord. Show it. You know, this is the Lord. I better write this down, you know. So sometimes he doesn't do it in the moment. He'll do it like you could even be driving. Sometimes it doesn't feel convenient, you know.
Mm-hmm.
But as long as
I'm sorry to interrupt you, but what I couldn't figure out, it was two elderly people. I mean, they were old, like old farmers, you know?
Yeah. Well, that's a good question. I think that's a good question for him. I know we're all not out of nobody's out of season when it comes to the Lord. Do you know what I'm saying?
Nobody's outdated.
Yeah. Nobody's outdated or out of season. It's like when if he calls you, he calls you, you know?
Yeah. But
yeah,
and
we are called. Go ahead.
I'm sorry I interrupted you. I'm so sorry.
You're fine. You're not. You're actually not interrupting me, so.
I also wanted to tell you about that fellow that I had that dream about the text message and that. Well, I went on a fast after I talked to you, and I'm like, you know what, I just got to either go ahead with this or just end this because, you know, this fellow, he flirts quite a bit. And I was like, no, he's just being a, you know, he likes to antagonize people or whatever, that it isn't flirting. Well, there have been other people. Oh, no, he is flirting with you, you know. And so I went on a fast and I prayed and I sent him an email and I said, after that fast, I had sent like just a text message to him and asked a general question. And he didn't even reply to that. And I thought, I don't like this. So I sent an email to him telling him that if he could please have that I was putting boundaries out there and that if he could watch the way he's talking to me and his actions, because I said, I'm sure you don't want to date me or have a relationship or something like that. I put with me, I go. And then I said, so I'm just asking if we could have healthy boundaries. And so I sent that email to him, and I sent him a text message. I said, hey, read your email. And he goes, oh, yeah, I won't be able to look at that for, like, it was, like, 2 days. And I was like, oh, my gosh, I have anxiety about this, you know. Anyways, I saw him, like, on a Friday night, and he looks at me. He's like, and he didn't see his email yet, and he was really flirting with me. And my best friend's husband looks at me. He goes, he didn't read his email yet, because I told him to, you know. And he looked, he said, the guy that I sent the email to, he goes, oh, I got to read my email, huh? And I said, yeah. And so he went and read it, and he sent me an email back, and he said, oh, okay, yeah, I'll watch the way I talk to you, and I'm just being goofy, and just think of me as your brother teasing you or something like that. And I was like, oh my gosh, puke, you know, I just wanted to puke, because that's not the way I was in my mind, you know.
Yeah.
And, but I'm going to tell you, he didn't, because later on that evening at church, he said something that was really out, like, it wasn't a very good boundary. And I didn't even look at him. I just walked away. And I was like, okay, now I just have to be free of this, you know?
Yeah. Do you feel like you have the like you expressed yourself and you have the clarity on your side that you were looking for?
No, because I still came home and was questioning the Lord. Like, I just don't know, because last year was just, like, I never had anything happen to me in my Christian life with a man. And I said, do you think this guy recognizes all these coincidences and stuff, to my best friend? And she goes, I don't know. But I don't know. It was just, and it wasn't, like, something that had to be planned. It was just, like, I said this, and he's like, oh, well, you know, that girl over there, she is, you know, whatever. I don't even know how to explain it. And my best friend's husband said, these are way too many coincidences to be, like, not God. So I would go before God and ask him, like, for, you know, either show me what to do next, or, you know, this has got to stop.
Uh-huh.
So, no, I don't think I got clarity. And I'm going to tell you, that was on a Friday when he read that email. And then on Sunday, I saw the fellow at church, and he didn't say one word to me. He was gone, lickety-split, and he hasn't been to church for 2 weeks now because he's been out of town. But it was just weird that after I sent that email, some people didn't even know where he went. And he's usually at church a lot, even during the day, in the office. Mm-hmm.
Now, did you say to your email? Did he reply to the email with in your email or verbally?
No, to my email. He
responded
not verbally to me at all. And then after he read that and he said he would watch it, not 45 minutes later, he said something. And I was just like, what? God, what is going on here? And I just walked away.
Well, what I think I would, if you still have the email or you can find it in your thread, you know, your best friend's husband, I would have him read his response if he hasn't, and tell you what he thinks of that.
Well, I told him what he wrote back to me, and he said, oh, yeah, I told you, because he had, the fellow had said, well, just think of me as your brother teasing, like being a goofball or whatever. And her husband said, well, yeah, I told you. And but I don't know.
That he would just disappear, because you would think if he was on the up and up, he would just say, okay, like, I'll respect your boundaries, or he would say, no, I kind of do want to date you, you know, but just to disappear,
yeah.
Like, it would be one response or the other, but, yeah, so something maybe is off a little bit with, because just to disappear means you maybe hit on something that he really didn't want you to see or to know, but you did, you know, even unbeknownst to you, even if you just grazed on something, he pulled back because you were seeing something that, that he's doing that maybe isn't on the up and up, I would think, if he just disappeared. Yeah.
Yeah, that's what I thought too. And I after I fasted and I sent that, you know, because I asked God, what am I supposed to do here? Because I really don't like this. So when I sent it and then that happened, before he read it, I had so much anxiety because God did say something to me like, he is just going to be taken back that you even stepped up and said that. Because I do know that there was another gal that asked him on a date at church, and he said, no, I'm not interested in you or anybody in this church. And I didn't ask him on a date. I asked him to respect healthy boundaries.
Right. Yeah. Huh. Well, I guess in some ways by default, it is kind of an answer, maybe not as clear as what one would have hoped for, but by default,
right.
By his act, you know, it's kind of his response, which doesn't really feel mature to me. Do you know what I'm saying?
Yeah,
because mature people communicate, even if it's difficult, you know, and you made it easy,
yeah.
Which I think is through email would be an easier way to communicate. Do you know what I'm saying? Like a safer way, you know, where you could say something harder if you needed to. Yeah. So for him, and then to just kind of bolt or disappear, that seems, something about that seems immature to me, you know?
Yeah. But anyways, if you could just say a prayer for me I really need wisdom if God is wanting me to move out of my city here.
Okay.
There's times when I know it's really God, but then my flesh wants to move really bad too. But it's to be vindictive to people that are being mean to me that I know would be sad if I moved. And I don't want it to be that way. I'm trying not to think that way. And so I'm just being honest because I just don't know what to do with my own feelings or what is God. And there are times when I know literally that the Lord just speaks to me and I'm like, oh, I know that's God, you know. There's times where my own self is so loud, like, just get in a car and leave, you know.
Yeah, and you don't want to leave begrudgingly, just like we shouldn't give begrudgingly. We don't want to leave begrudgingly either, you know.
I know that, and I know that is not even right. I mean, we're not even supposed to even, like, give in that, you know, give something to somebody in that way. You know what I'm saying? And
sure.
I just want it to be all God and to be blessed as he's leading me. And I find it really hard with somebody in my family that I don't know if it's me, and it's really causing me anguish whenever I see the person And I don't know if it's me or if I'm just picking up maybe how they feel about me. I don't know. So I'm struggling with these. It's kind of tormenting. And I try to just, actually, when I was listening to you talk tonight, I was really fighting with those feelings. But as I listened to you more, the Holy Spirit came and my mind was all cleared up and I felt so much better.
Very good. Okay, let's pray. Yeah. Lord, we just pray for Anne, Father, in Jesus' name. Lord, I pray that she would have the space, Lord, with you, God, to hear your voice, even the whisper of your voice, Father, in Jesus' name. God, we ask, Lord, that through this decision, Lord, that your voice would have the most influence and impact on her, Father, Lord, that it's her heart's desire to follow you and to know you more, God. So we ask an agreement that you would place your direction and your guidance before her, Lord. In Jesus' name, we pray, Lord, for these relationships. We just speak peace to them, Father God, and we speak to any mountain. God, if they feel that there would be a mountain in a way that it would be moved in the name of Jesus, Lord, and even this mountain of discerning your will and your placement for her during this time. God, we speak to that mountain to be removed in Jesus' name, Lord. And we thank you, Father, that you, you know, just like, Lord, that she has a sound mind, Lord, the love of God, a sound mind in your power, Lord, and that she, Lord, girds her mind before you, Father, and taking on truth, Lord. And we thank you, Lord, the things, because we all can hear voices as we go through our day, and whether it's our neighbors, like at the grocery, and traffic, at work, whatever that might be, Lord, that you know, bounce off of us, or some things absorb or don't absorb, or we can't sort out, Lord, that need an exit ramp. Father, Lord, just those things, Lord, even in and of herself, God, I thank you, Lord, in sorting it out and silencing it, Lord, that you would take her through that process to even to discern and to know that as well, God. So we thank you, Lord, that she trusts in you and she wants to stay in tune to you and in step to you, Father God, and we just pray that in agreement with her, Lord, and we thank you, Lord. We thank you, Father, that we can trust you, and we know that you supply the answer, and you make provision, God, provision in every way, Lord, not just through, I mean, even through creation, you know, providing a donkey, providing those things, Lord, miraculously, God, in our path, Lord, that you do that. You are the maker of all mankind, Lord. So we thank you, Lord, that she's yielding to you, Father, and pliable in your hands, Lord. And we thank you for that in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen. Jesus' name.
Jesus' name. Well, thank you for joining us this evening.
Thank you for ministering to me. I was very blessed.
Thank you. God bless you.
God bless you.
Have a good
Bye.
Night. Okay, thanks.
You
Bye.
Too. Bye.
Thank you. Okay, our next caller is 910-709. I believe this is Sylvia from North Carolina.
How are you?
I'm doing well. How are you?
Oh, great.
Good. Glad to hear it. Thank you for joining us this evening. Father, we thank you for Sylvia, Father. In Jesus' name, Lord, we thank you for how she stands before you, God, how her voice, you know, your voice echoing on earth as it is in heaven. We thank you for that, God, that she is an echo. God, you know, and as you speak forth, you are echoing what is being spoken in heaven on earth. And this is part of decrees, you know, when you set a decree and set that forth, It is according to the word of the Lord and the release of the Lord also. But it's also even, you know, the release of the Lord in both, the release of the Lord in both, like, his rhema word and his logos word. You know, like when he puts his breath on that, that's the release of his word, you know, and that unction to let that go so that your voice is echoing on earth as it is in heaven, but it definitely is harmonizing with the things of the Lord and even, and I would say even release the decrees that are coming forth to release that on earth. And I don't know all the aspects. I think there's like, I don't know, maybe there is something clear cut. I know I'm not a teacher. I more so expound on truth. But as far as decreeing and just coming into agreement with the Spirit and just the releasing and how the God, how the Lord uses us on earth to accomplish his will, you know, and I guess there's a mystery in that, if you will, you know, because certainly he could do it without us, you know, but there is a mystery. There is a mystery in being his vessel and being his servant. Mm-hmm. And in that, you know, there's obedience and sacrifice and and then the breath of the Lord. So however that works in that mystery where he actually really does use us to accomplish what he wants on earth. So I just see you standing and him opening up, you know, like heaven, opening up your voice to reverberate, you know, what is being released in heaven, you release it on earth. So I thank you for that, Lord. We bless her for that, God. We pray, Lord, that she would stay in the rhythm of your grace, Lord, in her speech, God, in her prayers, and in her actions, God. We thank you for it, Lord. And we thank you, Lord, for just revealing yourself, even through her actions more and more, God, in the directions and locations and where you have her, Lord, that it really is, Lord, you know, what you're desiring. You know, just like, and so I'm seeing the action, you know, like I was speaking of how John being stuck in the mud, that action, you know, in that moment, and then the clarity, and then the Lord bringing the clarity of his presence into that prophetic act or that prophetic thing, you know. So I see him kind of doing that with you more and more. And, so thank you, Lord. But really it's just standing and speaking and praying and saying, and it's not always just prayer. It's even just saying and speaking to, like, in those moments, the release of the Lord in Jesus' name. You know, when I was first saved, I would, first I had someone encourage me to start working in, like, children's ministry. And I did, and it got me into the word of the Lord, which I didn't know. Like, so I really learned a lot about the stories and had a natural curiosity to learn more through children's ministry and preparing every Sunday for that. So I learned a lot, and it actually prepared me. That's where it started my heart. And so I thought, why am I saying this? Sometimes I take the long way around the park there. I lose my train of thought, so I'm sorry. So I was thinking about, I missed it. So, Holy Spirit, please. I don't know if it was about learning. What was it, Lord? Learning, growing. I was talking about speaking. I forget what the last thing I said was. Oh, about his presence and revealing
himself even more to me.
Yeah. So, okay, I'm sorry. I forgot. I shouldn't have took the long way around. Next time I'm just going to go directly to my point. I apologize. Oh my goodness. Okay.
Calling on earth, like speaking out things on earth as it is in heaven, and releasing decrees. Is this something he's telling me to do more of, or am I doing it, or, you know, I didn't quite understand.
No, yeah, I think you are doing it. Yes, I think you are doing it. Like, I see you doing it, and then I'm seeing the actions, like your actions, even unbeknownst to you, but then learning later in the moment, then learning later that that action really was, really is where the Lord would have you. And like even prophetically, like a prophetic parable or prophetic, you know.
Okay.
So, yeah. So praise the Lord. That is good because, yeah, that is very good. Very good. So is there anything specific you would like us to pray in agreement for?
Oh, I'm just probably divine direction on some things that I guess that was pretty much like a lot of people. I'm trying to figure out, the Lord has said that you know, that I would be moving. And I guess I'm looking. Let me ask you one question. If someone would say, if the Lord would say pipe horn to you, what would that mean to you?
Okay, say that again. If the Lord would say what?
Pipe horn.
What can you
spell
it?
P-I-P-E-H-O-R-N.
Oh, I don't know. I've never heard that.
Yes, I received that in a prophecy the other night, and that was the word that was given to me. And when I received it, I heard the word when I was small. There used to be a pipe, a long metal pipe, and when we were kids, I think some of the pipes were new, and they would use them for plumbing or, you know, something from the street. So my mother always used to say, you know, hand me the pipe horn. And so what we would do with the pipe horn would be that we would, if you would blow into the pipe horn, then the pipe horn would give off a sound like a flute or like a shofar. And so we used to do that as a kid. So when she said it to me, I was thinking, she said it was like a change that was coming. So then Sunday night I was in a service, and they told me that the Lord says that I was going into a new season. And so that's what I got from Pipe Horn. I just thought that I would ask you, you know, because she said never heard it before. So it's almost,
So wait, the person who gave you the word never heard that word before?
Right. See, but I had, so she, when she said it, I remember from a child, you know, we would blow into this pipe, and it was almost like a shofar. So
did you guys blow into this pipe as a child? Because what was the purpose of that, or was it just to hear the noise for
just
joy?
Just to hear the noise. Like, to hear the noise, and it sounded like as if it was, you know, like a flute, like you were making music. And so it was almost like a horn. Yeah. So when she said it, when you blow into it, it's almost like a shofar. It makes the sound of that. So she says she never heard it. So, and then Sunday night I was in a service, and the Lord said I was going into a new season. So she did say that a change, you know, like a change was coming, something, you know, was getting ready to happen. So I didn't know if you ever heard that word before.
I haven't, and I mean, I don't know, this is a long shot, but is your mom still living?
No, she's not.
Okay. Okay. Anyone in your family or siblings that would have remember the pipe horn where you could get any other piece of information from them?
No, my older ones, they passed away, but I know we used to play with this pipe. It was just a regular pipe, the store, you know, maybe fix a kitchen sink, you know, like a long pipe. And, yeah, it was like one of those. And so, but the sound sounds like a shofar when you blow into it.
Yeah. Now, I know partly, what you know, with the shofar, when they blow that is, you know, well, one, it's to, you know, to sound to the enemies that victory is on its way. And then it also, there is a change of atmosphere. It's changing the atmosphere. And, you know, maybe, and maybe it's a type of, you know, like even as a child, and even me saying like the decrees that you're doing and standing in and saying, and that it's changing the atmosphere, you know?
That's what I was thinking when she said that, because I said, well, the Lord had to know that I would know what a pipe horn was, because I'm a little girl. I used to actually blow it myself, you know, just to hear the noise. And to me, when I heard the shofar, you know, someone blow that, it reminded me of what we used to call the pipe horn. We call it a pipe horn because it was a pipe and it sounded like a horn.
Wow. That's very cool.
Yes.
That's a cool prophetic word.
Yeah. I am hoping to change. He's going to change my atmosphere. And when you said that, that's what I've been thinking. So she told me that I had to do my part, you know, for the change. So I have been looking, and it seems like, you know, sometimes seems like the prices, you know, I'm looking at the prices, but he owned the cattle upon 1,000 hills, so he can afford, you know, anytime, anything. So sometimes we put him in the box. So I'm looking. I don't know where to go, you know, if I'm coming out of where I am going to the next town over or even further. So I'm just asking for direction, right?
Okay.
And maybe it's all just timing, but I want to, you know. Okay.
Yes. Well, that's part of seeking, right? Asking, seeking, and knocking, because then, right. So, Father, we just thank you for Sylvia, Lord, and the prophetic words that come forth over her life, God. And we thank you, Lord, that you would direct her steps and her path, Lord, and the things that you've spoken to her, Lord, that she's placing before you, Lord, that she's asking and seeking, Lord. We ask for your direction, Lord, that you would open the right doors for her, Lord, and she's even knocking, Lord, to for your response, God, and to know and to hear of you, God. So we pray, Lord, just for the favor of the Lord to be upon her, Lord, and as she seeks, Lord, and I thank you, Father, that you would even give her, like as she's letting her request be known unto you, Lord, and unto those around her, God, that she, Lord, I just pray for some element of aspect of just your great favor to lead her to the things that you've spoken over her, God, and specifically, as she says, direction and changing her atmosphere, God. So we thank you for that, and we come into agreement with it, God, and we just thank you, Lord, that she would even hear just the sound of victory, Lord, in that, God. So we thank you in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen. Amen.
Amen. Okay. Well, God bless you.
And you too. Thank you for praying for me.
Yeah. Thank you for joining us. It blessed you.
Okay. And you have a good night.
Okay. Thank you so much. You too. Bye. Okay. Our next caller is 205-531. Good evening. Who am I speaking to? Where are you calling from?
Julia May from Alabama.
Oh, Julia May, how are you doing?
Just fine.
Good to have you here tonight. Thank you, Father. For Julia May, Lord, we just bring her before you in Jesus' name. Just thank you, Lord, in Jesus' name. You know, the Lord, I see the Lord, like, preparing something, like, preparing for you and then, like, placing it before you. While, yes, he does say that he has, like, a banqueting table, right, in heaven and that we're going to come before him. But I'm seeing, mm-hmm. like, he's preparing something for you and then he's placing it. And it is like a type of food, so supply or nourishment, whatever it might mm-hmm. be. He's placing it before you, like, one item at a time. You know, like, let's say you had a dish that had compartments mm-hmm. in it. You know, like three or four compartments, and the preparation of the one thing, and then he's putting it in there and serving it to you, and then preparing and going back and getting the next thing. So while it's not all in one big dish all at the same time, I have no idea, but I do know that the Lord, right, what he calls himself. The bread of life, which is very sustaining, and you know, and bread is very sustaining that even people, I mean, it's so sustaining that it's hard sometimes for some people not to have bread, not to eat bread. Mm-hmm. Like it's very difficult because it's so satisfying and so sustaining. Mm-hmm. And then people come up with different methods on how to eat bread or how to make bread that is like a substitute of bread, if you will, you know. Mm-hmm. And but yet it's still, they're still using a flour or a type of mill that still has that substance to it that is mm-hmm. comes from bread. And we don't eat bread. I was thinking this the other day or maybe this morning. We don't eat bread. You know, we have to eat bread one slice at a time. That's how it sustains mm-hmm. us. And one piece at a time. We don't pick up the whole loaf and, you know, mm-hmm. eat a, you know, unless we're Popeye or mm-hmm. a cartoon character, you know, just put the whole loaf in our mouth. So really, you know, he's saying he is the bread of life, but yet we only eat him. We partake in portions, you know, and I don't know, it has this reflection of that, of just partaking mm-hmm. and what he's for you for the day in portions. You know, like, don't worry about tomorrow. Tomorrow has enough trouble in itself. Mm-hmm. But today, you know, today he makes a supply for you. And it's, in portions, he's making supply and giving you what you have need of in portions. So, praise God. And that is, you know, more so has a natural aspect to it, but it is more so speaking like spiritually, you know, what because even if we had whatever we needed in the natural, we mm-hmm. still, it's not going to be sustaining like it will be in the spiritual, you know? Yeah. Even in our greatest efforts. So, Julia May, how are you doing and how is Jennifer doing? And if there's anything we can pray for you with.
Yeah, I'll just pray for the nation. Jennifer, Dr. Ed was checking with the ENT about, and she had the PICC line for 2 feet. And he mm-hmm. called us on the day. I got a call from one of the workers there to tell me to make a, doctor want me to make an appointment. They're going to take it out. So they're going to take the tube out of the stomach. I said, thank you, Jesus. I said, he rolling around. Like I said, one thing at a time. I said, next we got that the tray on her throat, and that'd be the last one. I said, but he's just blessing her on and on and on. Mm-hmm.
Okay.
She's going to get the ringing out. Oh, yeah.
Wow.
She, you know, she's eating. So the doctor said, you know, they haven't taken out tonight. So I'm going to check on that because, you know, since she's eating, he was telling me, you know, I told you she was eating foul food. And I said, well, you know, I chop it. He said, no, I don't chop it. He said, just give it a regular, like a hamburger, just give it, don't chop it up in sections and just watch her eat and see if she gag or choke or anything like that. And she's been doing fine.
Wow, mm-hmm. that's amazing.
Mm-hmm.
That's incredible.
Mm-hmm.
Well,
oh,
thank
yes,
you,
yes.
Jesus. Yeah. Thank you, Lord.
You know, a little weak, and you know, she ended up back in the hospital and laying up in the bed. So, you know, she's walking a little bit more now, so she get a little tired, but she's trying to build her strength back up, you know, walking and everything. But she's tired too. Someone taking us, no, we can't do that. And then like I said, that was yesterday, and then they called me today to tell me, you know, to get an appointment and take it out. I said, thank you, Jesus. And she went to a neurologist, and he said, you know, she was doing okay, too. So she had seizures, so I told her I won't have no problem with her medicine. She really having a seizure like she would, and so we're doing good. Mm-hmm.
Oh, good. Good.
Yeah.
I'm glad to hear that. Okay, well, we'll pray for her continued strength, mm-hmm. and then is there anything we can specifically pray for you for? Do you have any requests?
Yes, continued strength to do his will, and still pray for our nation, you know, because still, you know, people still don't want to get the shots. And like I tell people sometimes, I say, looking at her, I say, I can show you what that virus can do, but I can also show what God could do better. Because a lot of people wouldn't believe that she went through, because the doctor, when I was telling him, he just looking at me. He said, share the virus. I said, oh, yeah, share the virus from a lot of other stuff. And so, you know. Mm-hmm.
Wow. Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
Okay. All right, Father, we just looked up Julia May and Jennifer to you, God, and we just ask for continued strength to come to Jennifer's body, God. We just speak your life, health, vigor, vitality, Lord, in every functioning aspect, Lord, from the top of her head to the soles of her feet, Lord. Mm-hmm. We ask that you strengthen her, God, her cells, her blood counts, the balances, Lord, even her food and digestive, God. And we just rebuke any virus, God, anything, Lord, we just rebuke that, Lord, that you would set a guard about her, God, a guard about her, Lord, over her entire being, God, but especially over where the tube, where they'll be taking the tube out, God, and her face, God, and her throat and the coverings, Lord, that we have that bring us life, health, vigor, and vitality. And I thank you, Lord, for faith to come to her ears, Lord, and to be deposited in her ears, God. And we thank you, Lord, that faith, Lord, would reverberate throughout her body and bring forth healing and wholeness in Jesus' name, Lord. And we thank you, Lord, just for angels who can bring strength and preservation and sustain her even physically, Father. We thank you for that, Lord, that they guide and guard her in Jesus' name. And we pray for Julia May, Father. We thank you, Lord, for your providential care over her and all of her needs and her aspects, Lord, functionally, spiritually, and in the natural and functionally, God, that you would make provision for her, Lord. And we thank you, Lord, for our nation, Lord, and that you would just teach us to pray. Lord, your word says, can a nation be saved or changed in a day, God? And we trust that it can, God, by your hand, Lord. So we just pray for peace, Lord, over those and authority over us, God, and the shalom of God. We pray for awareness, God, of your presence, of your power, and of your ability, God, and open eyes and hearts, Lord, and remove those stony places in people's hearts, Lord, and give them a heart of flesh. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen. Thank you.
Amen. Thank you. God bless you.
And God bless you, too. Thank you.
Thank you. Okay. Here we go. We're moving on to 405-482. Good evening. Who am I speaking to? Where are you calling from?
This is Autumn from Oklahoma.
Okay, Autumn from Oklahoma. All righty. How are you doing this evening?
I'm good.
Good. Lord, we just thank you for Autumn, Father, in Jesus' name. We thank you, Father. So I'm seeing a wheel, like in Jesus' name, Lord, we just thank you for this wheel, God. Hold on. Let me go to something here. Yeah, so I was thinking in Ezekiel. In Ezekiel 1, it says, Ezekiel says, the heavens were open and I saw a vision of God. The word of the Lord came expressing to Ezekiel. Hold on, I think. Wait, I have to open this up all the way. Okay, listen, behold, a high wind was coming from the north, a great fire. Okay, I'm not sure where this says, but I'm seeing, okay, let me just go back to the Lord. It's not, I thought in Ezekiel it talked about a wheel inside of a wheel, but that's not what I'm seeing. I'm just seeing this big wheel. So, Father, I just thank you, Lord, that you would just give me, Lord, the interpretation of what I'm seeing. So this wheel is bigger. I'm just going to speak into it and see if the Lord adds to it. And sometimes he does that. So the wheel is bigger than an actual size wheel. So it's like oversized. And I'm not even seeing any like other function. Like I'm not seeing like, so it's kind of like an old-fashioned wheel, like I want to say a wagon wheel, except it's painted white on the inside and it's larger, and I'm not really seeing anything else attached to it, like none of the framing, none of the coach. It's just literally this oversized wheel. So we thank you, Lord. Oh, you know what? Let me look up. Okay, just maybe this is the Lord. Let me look up, and I have it right at arm's reach here. The aspects of, in a dream, when you see a wheel, okay, this may help here. So, just a second. Okay. Okay. All right, hold on 1 second. Okay, so here it says, what the wheel. Wheel. Oh, it says this, literally it says wheel / big. That's so weird. Who would have known that would have been in there? It says someone with great influence and prestige or power. Okay. Okay, wheel spinning because it was moving. The wheel was moving. I do see the wheel and it big. It's big, but it was, okay, it wasn't spinning quickly, but it was moving. Okay, so I will read this one. It says, new thoughts and insights are coming, creative ideas. Becoming centered or well-rounded. Connected to a hub or force that provides energy to propel or steer. I feel the breath of God on that, as connecting to a hub or force that provides energy to propel or steal, steer, excuse me. So thank you, Lord. We thank you, Father. So let me just pray into this, Lord. We thank you, Father, just for new thoughts and insights, Lord, creative ideas. God, in Jesus' name, we thank you, Lord, that Autumn is well-rounded and centered within these new thoughts and insights that are from you, God. We thank you, Lord, for the connection to this, God, or the hub, God, that is actually will help produce and provide the energy to propel and to steer, God, you know, as a force and moving in connection with peace, a piece of it. God, in Jesus' name, and we thank you, Lord, that it would bring great influence, prestige, or power, God. And we thank you, Lord, when you do these things, Lord, that it is for your glory, and it's for your purposes, God, and for your outcome. And I thank you, Lord, that it would not spin out of control, Lord, but it would be you know, a great function and a great aspect in Jesus' name. Kind of like when you see a windmill, you know, like the windmill goes according to the wind and how fast. And sometimes it can actually go very slowly, spinning very slowly, but it's actually providing great energy and a great aspect, you know, to what it's doing, you know. And even with all the advancements that we have in different types of power sources, and how they function and how they, you know, maneuver, still the windmill is still functional, you know, which is kind of cool with solar energy and all these different kinds of energies, that it's still a very functional aspect and its creativity that is lasting. So praise the Lord.
Thank you.
You're welcome. Is there anything specific you'd like prayer for? Agreement, prayer of agreement?
No prayer request.
Okay, that's fine. Thank you so much for joining us. You have a good evening.
You too.
Okay, thank you. Okay, let's see where I am. Caller 402. 402-214. Good evening. This is Deborah. Who am I speaking to?
Hi, Deborah. This is Sharon in New York. Thanks for getting to me. I had to call back a couple of times.
Oh, okay. Sorry.
No, it's okay. I've been, you know, I've been blessed listening to you. Your prayers.
Okay, awesome. Well, thank you. Thank you for joining us this evening.
Yeah.
I'm sorry. Did you have something specific you wanted prayer for?
Oh, well, I want prayers for my grandson, my grandchildren, but specifically my grandson, Gabriel, and for myself.
Okay. Okay, let me just pray for you first. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord, for Sharon, Father, and her family and her household, Lord, and just her heart to carry her household and generation before you, Lord. We just thank you for that. And I thank you, Lord. You know, there's a unique calling that God has on us sometimes when he sees us and his, like from his view and from his aspect and his, you know, I know I've said this here before where there's a scripture that talks about us being inscribed on the palm of God's hand. And then he also has, which I've never seen this before, but I know people sometimes do this in the natural, but people who have like, I don't know, what is it called? Like elite wealth or whatever, where their family will have a crest to their family,
right.
You know, like the, right. Okay. Yeah. So, but I seen the Lord, there was an inscription like that identified, to your family line. And I don't know if it's necessarily be central because you're bringing them before the Lord, or if this is really something he has for everyone, that I've just never seen before. I don't know. But it is like an inscription. Okay, so sometimes it's good that I need to say it, because then I can see, like I can sense where the breath of God is breathing on which aspect of that is truth, like which one is more true or truth or whatever, you know, that he's leaning in that direction. So it is the things that you're bringing before the Lord on behalf of your family, but that is inscribed to the Lord. But there's like this inscription that he has for your family line. That is precious, you know, and it's like precious like silver, you know. And so when he speaks, when the Lord releases his word and he speaks, you know, there's a verse that talks about the Lord, he speaks truth, and he can only speak truth, right? He's not a man that he should lie. And also
right.
his truth is refined as silver. Seven times. It means the purest, it's the purest of truth. So we need to make sure that we guard our own filter, you know, and even there's filtering things that are just happen throughout our day, just in a normal day, going to the store, driving through traffic, you know, we have to filter that out. The things that are happening on earth so that we can filter in God's purest truth to us and literally receive it as the purest form of truth being refined as seven times. And this inscription that he has for your family and that he's offering to you, it needs to be received with, you know, as it's the finest choice silver, you know, and there's a placement for each person in your family line with this inscription on it. I'm not sure what the inscription is, if it just is identifiable to your family or if it is something else. It is a part of it's being identified to your family, but I'm not sure if there's something more to that. There's a mystery in that that I can't really identify. So, Lord, we just thank you. We thank you for that, God, that she would receive, that Sharon would receive the things that she places before you, God, and also, because I see you bringing things to the Lord and bringing things to the Lord, and like the Lord has them, and they're all together, like, inscribed in this one aspect. I don't know, but he's going to be... So you bring your prayer request to him regarding your family and your bloodline and your generations, and then he's going to be giving it back to you, like almost like spoon feeding you, if you will, but it's refined as truth. And I think he just wants me to remind you of this so that when you receive it, you receive from the Father his truth as it is refined, you know, seven times. It's in its purest form of truth. And that nothing can interrupt that, you know, and that you would certainly be served that. Your family would be served that. There would be a placement and an alignment with your family as they receive that as well, upon the inheritance that they have in the Lord. And I just thank you, Lord. I thank you, Father, for releasing your word to her, God. I thank you, Lord, for her heart to carry her family before you, Lord. And we thank you, Lord, through the blood of Jesus. And even this week and this coming Easter, God, that you would just release a restorative and your resurrection power unto them, God, and just break forth, Lord, that would just be a breaking forth of your newness, Lord, unto them, Father, in Jesus' name. And I thank you, Lord, nothing would muffle their sound and their ears from hearing and faith, that they would receive it, Lord, in Jesus' name, and that they would even make the declaration with their own praise, that they received from the Lord and what that is, Father. I just thank you, Lord, as a testimony unto you, Lord. In Jesus' name, amen.
I have to share this. One of the things that I was thinking about the last couple of days was our family crest.
Oh, really?
And, yeah, with my last name. And it goes back to originated in Scotland and then Irish. But the Scotland where our family originated generations back, our last name, the family crest, the motto on it is that we belong to the Lord.
Wow.
Yeah. Which is really phenomenal. And I just was, you know, I really love that. And my prayers also have been about, you know, staying close to God, staying close to the Lord. And so he's answering, kind of confirming that for me.
Yeah.
Through
for
what
sure.
what you just saw. I mean, pretty specific because I really was. It's really beautiful. I don't know if that's the exact words on the crest, but it is. The gist of it is we belong to the Lord, and the Lord is, yeah.
Wow, that's beautiful.
Comes from the Lord. Yeah, it is beautiful. I was very surprised when I saw it years ago. Always wanted it. But but I appreciate
that's very cool. Mm-hmm.
The prayers that I bring to him, what I got out of this was basically God is saying, you know, I have you in the palm of my hand, my family. And he's listening when I bring in the truth. See, that is, that's really powerful because my life has been strewed with lies. Not that I haven't done, but that have been lied about me to try to destroy my family. And my relationships and everything. It's been really bad. But, you know, I just, I mean, that's what Satan does. He takes the truth and he twists it. And, you know, he's been working real hard on me. Like, I was listening to you about you and your husband and about the truck stuck in the mud.
Yeah.
And it's kind of one of those things, you know, where when God speaks so directly. It's hard. And I feel like my poor grandchildren are, like, pulled. They're caught in the middle of not, you know, not knowing what to do, what to believe.
Yes. I think certainly if there is, you know, that call that you belong to the Lord and that's been etched in your family bloodline, you know, a declaration being etched in your family bloodline, that the enemy would want to come against that. But I would still keep praying and decreeing, you know, because when the Lord, and it is very hard and difficult to be sustained by the truth of the Lord, even if it's just spoonfuls of his truth, okay? And nourishing us, you know, every 4 hours or whatever it might be, every 6 hours, 8 hours, whatever, to silence the other voices and the chaos and the. But that is part of what the enemy does. Is he likes to be louder, and more intimidating and more forceful than the voice of the Holy Spirit, you know, and because it gets us off track and it gets us looking to him and, you know, being on his play field, if you will, because we really don't have power when we're on his playing field. We do when we stay on the Lord's playing field and fight our battles the way the Lord instructs us to, you know. And so let me just pray, Lord, we just pray for your daughter, God, and we just break this assignment that has been over her life, God, and we pray just according to the word of the Holy Spirit, Father, that would come forth, Lord, that these relationship issues and problems, Lord, that they would be broken in Jesus' name. Lord, we just bind any spirit of pride, God. We bind spirits, the twisting lies, God, a Leviathan, God. We bind that and silence that, God. We take your sword and go for the jugular, God, to do away with this Leviathan spirit. In the name of Jesus, Lord, and we thank you, God, that you would restore, Lord, and even as I was praying, I'm remembering that I prayed this week, God, there would be a breaking forth, God, a breaking forth, Lord, of a new thing, God, of a new thing, God, and that you would show your resurrection power, God, in your restoration and restorative nature, God, to your daughter, to Sharon herself, Lord, and to her family, in Jesus' name. And Lord, we pray for Gabriel, Father, in the name of Jesus, Lord. And we thank you for the blessing of the Lord to come upon this child, Lord. We thank you that you would, Lord, that the ears would not be muffled against hearing faith, but you would unmuffle the sound, God, so that faith could ring and prevail in this person's life. So there's liberty. Let liberty ring in the ears of Gabriel, in Jesus' name. Amen.
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 Amen. Well, thank you for joining us this evening and sharing that. That's really profound, really.
Yeah. Thank you. Thank you
thank
for your
you.
Prayers.
Okay. You're welcome. Okay. Bless you.
Bye.
Bye. Okay, caller 847-239. Good evening. Who am I speaking to? Where are you calling from?
Hello, Stephanie from Illinois.
Oh, hey, Stephanie. How are you?
I'm good.
Okay, let's pray. You know what? I need to clear something on here because I can't see. There we go. Okay, I'm blocking my time. Oh my goodness! I have 1 minute to pray for you. I'm so sorry. I did not know. There's a little caption popped up and it was blocking my thing. Lord, I just pray for Stephanie, Father, in the name of Jesus, Lord. I thank you for every step that she takes. God, would be unto your kingdom, God, that she would be stepping up. I don't know if you're familiar with the Psalms of Ascent, which they're in the books of Psalms. You can Google that, the range of those. I think there's like 15 or 20, I think, in the range. And there are actually these Psalms of Ascent where at each step, actually Beth Moore has a study that she did on this as well. Each step was leading up to going into the courts, you know, into the inner courts, into the throne of God. And so I see you stepping up and, you know, beginning to enter in and enter in further and further and further, you know. And part of the Psalms of Ascent is, you know, having your heart and your praise being lifted and exalted before the Lord. And it's also very public. It's an issue of it's being publicly displayed. You're stepping up where others are seeing it. And it's not that you're doing it on their behalf. Your heart and your focus and your praise are directed towards the King. But he's exalting, you know, you're lifting him up and he's exalting you. And it's also going to be, you know, where people can see it. they can see this transition and this lifting and this stepping up begin to happen in your life. So bless you. Thank you for calling in. Oh, I'm sorry, I do need to let you go, but praise the Lord for that.
Thank you.
Thank you. Bless you. Okay, good night. Shalom, everyone. We'll see you April. Good night.